not having crafts at the moment. So what I'm having is, so we had a long problem about not finding out why the time syncing up between the relative time in a summarized section and the absolute time didn't correspond and stuff, and we found it was some stupid, well, at the moment our best guess is that it was some stupid Java thing about if you have two objects and you say object, if you say A equals B, they actually reference to the same thing. So any changes you make to one are made to the other, and if you do that around five corners, you lose track of it and you suddenly wonder why that value is zero, and it turns out it is zero because it's the same thing that you... Anyway, so we figured out... It's interesting, why don't I have a screen here now? Actually, that's new, but that's okay. It's doing different things all the time, like this is the first time that
you
I...
don't have it on your screen.
But that should be okay, that should be okay. I'll be able to...
Normally, at least on Windows machines, it goes through a cycle. So if you press whatever the key combination you...
Yeah, but last time I pressed that key combination, everything went wrong, and I think I'll be able to do it just fine on the screen, so that'll probably keep me from pointing on my screen, which I usually...
Now it's not showing anything.
It might just be at this point, like there's sometimes a point in loading, not usually that long. Well, let's see. Anyway, so let's just see what happens.
With the Windows machines, there's a cycle, so that if you press it once, you get it on both your screen and the projector. Another time, it takes it off your screen.
So now I'm having a complete mess of like split. Split screens and stuff. I've picked up time.
Oops. Oh.
Yes, but that's not what we wanted.
No.
So, but I think if I... This is a logout command, and usually it resets this. Oh, amazing strange color combinations I see in front of me at the moment.
Do you want to try? That seemed to work before, didn't it?
Yeah, we somehow always get it working in different ways every time. So that kept us, like, basically from doing anything else for quite some time in the last day because we were hunting down that stupid error. I got it fixed in the last, whatever, 1 hour or something. But so at the moment, the program is set up in between working and not working because we've done lots of changes to try what the error was. Dave, I think actually that the summary at the current moment isn't working 100% correct, but that could be because of the input data. It seems to just take the first utterances more or less. Like if you read through the summaries, they read suspiciously fluent, like as in people's questions and answers, and then if you plot them on the screen where they are at the moment, they seem to yes. So maybe that's where the problem is coming from.
I'll check that.
Yeah. This is when you start shifting around your laptop to think that it gets somehow less sloped on the screen. So I'm not really sure what this meeting is about, to be honest. I'm going to show this just what we have at the moment, but it's not going to look very different from what we had last time. Don't ask me what happened to the promise that you will get your script where you can use your own stuff, because actually that was sort of ready, but then we sort of started trying to get something more working, and then we got into big problems. So at the moment, I mean, again, we should be at a state where people can load their own script.
I've got
thing is, at the moment, it's just really bad for me. But from Monday on, I can just do 24/7 for this one until it's due. But until Monday, it's going to be really bad. Like, I can probably help people if they have problems with getting what we have running now, but let's see.
All right.
So I'll just start up what we have now, and we can talk about what to be prepared and stuff. Eek! Yeah, it doesn't. But sometimes you have to just write the program in a way that even in the way that it displays everything, it still leaves those out. Like if you give those a special information density ID, or if you just put a special, yes, something like that, and then just make sure that summary, even in the most summarized mode, just never puts them in.
Might be a problem for me at the stage right now, because I based everything on not having those. Yeah. And what I also, what I also did was having two people annotate the first meeting, and so they didn't annotate the spaces, and everything would mess up. I think if I had spaces for the new values, so when I went to do correlation, it wouldn't work anymore. So I don't know. Well, what I could do is work further with what I've got now, and then just when I have my the final formula ready, I could apply it to the new stuff. That would be okay. No, my what my TF-IDF is based on Colin's data, so I end up with the same learn lines. Yeah. Is it still the old TF-IDF?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know which of the two I'm summarizing over. Do you know? Are we
which one is it?
So at the moment, the configuration is that word importance file is test 3 and TDIDF file is test 2. I've just switched them around, so I have no clue what we're actually doing at the moment.
Those names, TF-IDF.
Yeah, especially since
word
I've just. Since I've just switched them around anyway, but that's okay. I, by the way, I read a paper which makes an important point about combining two things of that type. It's basically it's going all about this fancy concept called geometric mean, which effectively just means multiplying them. But I have some good information about different ways how you can sort of weight two different factors. Because it's for something very similar. Somebody who tried to solve a very similar problem where they also had two factors and they wanted to weigh them together. And there's like a good justifiable reason why we should do it in a certain way, and how we can then, with a simple parameter, adjust how much one weighs and how much the other weighs. So there is something for just for putting them together in a relatively simple way, but still a way that we can sort of justify. We can quote stuff on that. Yeah, shall we?
Very complex.
No, it's multiplying them. And like putting them one over the power of something and the other over minus one. One minus the power of something, and that sort of, and they've plotted some graphs about like where they show like one going from 0 to the one and the other going 0 to one, and like how the landscape changes, how the parameter changes, how it works. So that's quite good.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
So that's probably seeing that we're probably not gonna go into any whatever base blah 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 macro model blah 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 about combining them. That's probably what we could go at. Now this is still not ideal at the moment, David. It's sort of it's overrunning. It's okay. So
yeah.
At the moment we are that far that if I now click onto a segment here,
it's all working like it should do.
Yeah, it's just wait. Sorry, I just resized it a bit. Yes, it's like the values are sort of hard coded for the screen sizes and biases. So let's see. I was a stupid user and was clicking on this segment. We probably have to make the segment lines a lot bigger. So then did I get a new summarization? Yeah, I didn't actually see, so let me check a different one.
Yeah,
so you see it's a different text. And you see
it's
running through it, and also you see the indicator in where we are is jumping.
Yeah.
So it's skipping stuff. Now I don't think the summary at the moment is what we want it to be, seeing the words like oh and and exactly right. Sure. This seems probably, this is again probably the opposite of what we want, so it's probably some value which we have to like divide by one divide by the value or something. But
I want to picking up some interesting stuff, like we're looking at adverbs, you'd expect a score.
Yes, but also every other word in that sentence, we should look probably in your list of 50 like least important words in the universe. So yes, but it's probably just because if you look at the other one, like this is just their best sentence for like having function words in a row, sort of. And every other, I mean, this one is sort of they're developing a big infrastructure. So maybe it's just doing it randomly at the moment. I don't know. But we have some summary working, and that's a good basis to start from. I promise now that you'll get something where you can pet your own data, and it's sort of bringing
I'm
you the color.
I'm surprised that it will actually work. I've been working with like incomplete versions that haven't worked for a long time.
Yeah.
See it will continue.
Yeah, still it's might be having some problem. I think this one overran just before, so we might still have some problem here that it's not stopping at the end. But so, Dave, can you make the promise, that I'm not making the promise realistically, that the girls will very soon get...
Yeah, I'll do the first thing.
So at the moment, I've hard-coded it to just taking 1/10 of the number of utterances which were in the original selection. Yeah. It actually gives you an error if you put it to 20, because there's some things in there which are shorter than 20. And if you select those, then it's having an...
You need to add some sanity
checking. Yeah. But I think like a proportional one is probably no bad idea. That's I mean, an absolute length is sort of a bit strange, because that means that some utterances will not be changed in length. Anyway, we had that discussion before, and I'm confused myself about what I think about it. So the fact that this is going on beyond that green line here is something that's not ideal, but that's something we have to sort out. But this is working in general. Does anyone have a general overview over the whole time issue, like, as in, what date is it today, what date do we have to have this presented, what day of the week is that, and issues like that. So the presentation is now
yeah.
2 weeks from today. Okay, 1 week from today I shall hear the freedom ring from the hills and everything, and shall then throw myself into new slavery. No, really?
Yeah.
And the report?
Yeah.
I can work with
Yeah, I think we should take
as
the time, because I think
it
will be...
As long as we design it beforehand, I think we can probably manage to actually get it in 3 days after.
But we also have to write the thing.
Writing the report won't be so bad. How long is it expected to be?
It's 50% of the month.
I know, but if everyone, like if everyone is matching 3 pages for their bit, then that's going to be that's a big report then. Stuff, so. Yeah, but evaluation.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
I think so too.
Or like integrated tooltips, that would be really good. Having said that, Dave, we could probably if we want, we could probably go back to the group directory and just use this trick. It really seems to be all about starting in the directory. But I mean, if the two of us are just working on it, it doesn't make a difference, because I've already mounted your directory now, so
okay.
And probably should
wait till we have it ready.
How about the summarization again? You wanted to base it on sentence length as well. And I've got sentence length incorporated into my importance measure at the moment, so... Okay. But if we do it twice, it wouldn't make too much sense. Don't know how exactly you want to implement your...
Well, if it's just multiplying two numbers, it can be done in the program, because then we can... Because what we could do is have a slide bar where we can adjust this value. Actually, if you can figure out a way, like how, basically a general way, because there's at least two points at which we are interested in that, how we can just have a slide bar which we can read and write, which is in a frame of that type, that would be good. It shouldn't be difficult, should it? I mean, to adjust it. Yeah, but it might be more difficult. Let's see. You could, if you're lucky, you probably just have to extend that class and then you can work with that value. But if you're unlucky, it might be quicker to just write a very simple string component, which is just a bar. Yeah. So because we basically, it would be good to have two different ones to play around with. One for controlling the length of the summary, and another one for the merging factor, if we do it that way with the geometric. Yeah, it's just a single formula effectively, yeah. How is the audio thing going? Is that you probably not have time to work on that? It seems that at the moment a lot of the stuff that has to be done is sort of at the moment I'm saying, oh, Dave, can you do this? So that's not ideal. Because I think, I mean, the audio is, the audio is a very important component of it. Just because it's going to look stupid if we have everything working, but just... Their speech tools.
Yeah. And most of the docs and machines don't have working sound cards.
Is there any way for X forwarding sound? Because that would be sort of a nice way to sit at home and have it forward the sound at the lowest bit rate to you. I mean, seeing that it's over broadband, it's forwarding the graphics quite okay. It would probably, like broadband wise, bandwidth wise, probably work out. But it's probably not not simple. Are you not creating files anyway, like sort of real files?
Yes.
So that you can do in a dice machine independent
of... I can change the script so that when you use my own, you can just add SSH stuff in. And like the sound tools on the dice and then copy
that.
Yeah.
One problem with SSHing in general is that the machine that, like, the only gateway machines, they hate you for doing anything on them.
Yeah.
And there's no simple way, at least I haven't found one, to directly, in a single step, sort of SSH and then SSH again. Actually, I guess if you put SSH and you can give a command up right after with SSH. So if that command is SSH again, and if you, that would require that you have all your key files set correctly, which I haven't, because it always fucks up on my system. Maybe if you get that working, then you should be able to directly go into another machine. relatively soon would be good. I think.
To be honest, that would be a pretty soon.
Okay. So to come back to the problem we had before, so the reason why the summary didn't work well in the last one and works well now is because based on the bottom data, the data is so homogeneously high in its importance rating that it just sort of then everything else being equal took the first ones more or less. But now it's working better because now it's on a much more evenly distributed. The most professional way of doing it would be to map them according to the standard deviation, because that way it would automatically always. It's sort of like it's the problem is it's more calculation expensive and slightly more complicated, even though it's actually like in terms of calculation it's not much. Have you ever like you know generally about standard deviation?
Yeah, I've not used it.
It's a very simple formula. It's basically just whatever the average of mean square differences from the mean or something. Which the problem with it is that generally you first have to get the mean and only once you have the mean you know what. In one go.
Yeah
I've derived that. I've derived that myself. Like I didn't find it, so I did it myself, and it took me a day with the formula. But then I'm slow at maths. So the good thing about that would be that if you simply say that whatever, one standard deviation below the mean is zero and one standard deviation above the mean is one or two standard deviations or something, then whatever the data is like, it would always normalize.
Yeah, it's
not the simplest, but that like that's the most professional way I can think about it. That would indirectly also drop stuff. I mean, that would drop whatever is below.
Yeah,
so if you find that formula, that would be good. Otherwise, I can see if I can still understand, like I did it in my program. It's really stupid, like the standard deviation formula just requires you to have the mean initially, and that makes some things exactly twice as computationally expensive. And there is a way of doing it cumulatively.
Yeah,
so that's one possible way of doing that. So
yeah, it could be. It could be fine. Running out of data twice. Totally.
That's just in the loading stage, right? Yeah, that should actually be fine, especially in the worst case, we just introduce a small hourglass. But anyway, we're only going to present this once. And we can probably just like sort of start it up before the presentation starts. So you should all be worried about it. Actually, it's quite beautiful. It's like if you want a program only to run once and only a part of it, you don't worry if it crashes afterwards, if it wastes all the resources, if it formats the hard disk in the end. Anyway, I'm rambling on. No, it does not. It does not. I changed it. You would forget then. That means that you would start it 15 times over and have 15 zombies running. Does anyone know anything about which dice machines have sound cards and how to find them? Because the thing is, we can, like this at the moment, it's working because it has a sound card. The interesting thing is that because of the structure of this, it isn't enough to just say, well, if you don't have a sound card, you don't have sound. At least I think that's what I remember our problem was that. So I've worked around that. There is ways, I think, to get around it, but the problem is, so you basically have to have two code versions, then one for sound card and one for non-sound card machines to test. because you have to change all sorts of other things if you don't have a sound card. So there isn't a simple way to just tell which ones the sound card machines are and just to use sound card machines as there. But I guess, I mean, if you trust in Dave's summary for the audio, just putting all these things into sound, then
yeah,
having a written summary.
Yeah,
then
yeah,
yeah.
I just care for the
one.
So I think Dave, really the easiest way is if we just make a sound card and a non-sound card version of it. Because
I think we should call it, we'll run it on a sound card version.
Yeah, but then that means that the girls can't test it. That's the problem. Like
we can.
Yes, but without the clock, you don't have. Well, actually, you're right. It doesn't strictly have to do any movement.
So
yeah.
You can still click on the segments, and that's
click on a second, it automatically sets the whole clock thing going and stuff, so we have to comment out stuff. So that's what I'm saying, that there is. We could make it a flag, couldn't we? We could just make it a like a runtime flag and then make a few ifs and say if.
There must be a way of detecting that the clock's
loading. Yes,
there is.
There is. So anyway, so that's something we should probably do in one way or another, because it seems just an overwhelming majority of dice machines don't have sound cards. No, nothing too much to talk about this. So apart from like a search box and the similarity thing, this is more or less in the end, like this is very similar to what our product will look like in the end, seeing that realistically with a given time frame, we're not going to do amazing new things from now on. So we hopefully have...
Perhaps my list of agreements.
List of agreements? Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think it would be good, it could be good in the display to annotate them in the display.
Yeah,
if we can. Yeah, we could just
can
make.
You click on a point in time in the display?
Not just yet, but that should, that's probably the only thing I can say I can do this week, because that should be, I mean, I did in an inefficient way, I'll effectively sort of go through all the segments and check if they are clicked on, but I think that what we should do is that time click of the clock, I think that's changeable. And I think we should probably increase that, because at the moment it's 0.1 seconds. And that's just, there is actually, there's some background noise when it's working, and I think that is because it's like doing so much every time. Yeah, it's probably because, I'm not sure if you have the version with the display, where the display is actually updating up here when it's moving on. So I mean, yes, it is because my display is programmed inefficiently, but I think with a given time constraints, it's probably easier instead of making a very efficient display code to just make the time, make the clock, whatever, 0.5 seconds, something. Do you want to monitor?
As long as you can skip.
If I can skip more accurately, then...
Like if you want to jump.
Are we still with that idea that we want to display bars for the individual speakers? Okay. And also displaying the speakers before an utterance. Okay.
Oh yeah, I can.
That's probably because it's coming from my resolution and it's even much higher resolution. So.
Yeah, but because it's white screen or something. Important or most probable.
probably a good part if we had a slide bar initially where we could dynamically adapt the threshold of what we use. Yes, so maybe it's just like, maybe it's just good to have like some generic component with three slide bars or something where we can relatively easily add a fourth one or something, you know, and just like sort of all our fiddle factors.
Obviously
Well, it depends. We could, like, in some cases, we could put it as a feature and say, you know, you can dynamically. Like,
well,
we wouldn't call it threshold, but we would sort of like the granularity of decision or something like it. So, and everything above that threshold, I could then, at the inference where it occurs, just put a certain graphical item, like a handshake or something.
Yeah.
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 That does look quite promising.
So it looks quite good. So that's what I want for agreement, then for disagreement. I would also it's a bit more difficult because there's so little disagreement. Yeah, so there's again see the list, but it's much shorter and it's much
yes, I was just thinking the same, like it's so tempting. Like we have yellow we have yellow smileys and yellow angry faces. Ah, beautiful.
And that is here
didn't somebody say that actually like a lot of agreements have actually words which would suggest disagreement, like they're corresponding for each thing, yeah, they should be right. So for each utterance, you have one agreement and one disagreement.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, the one where
so
we can't. You know what, if you introduce like sort of a static, what's it called, public static int, so basically a constant, like that's JavaScript constant, give them names, like so 0, TDIDF, 1, that probably makes the code a lot more readable for everybody who's playing around with it. You know what I mean? So just like whatever 3 means agreement value, and then I just write something agreement, and then it's easier to understand for both of us what's going on. But you know what, I think we should put the threshold for that in the end quite high anyway, so it probably doesn't make much of a difference because I think this thing
but
never like the different ones have the same number in itself isn't a problem, is it? So if for every yep you'd be sure that it's an agreement, then that wouldn't be a problem. So you're saying that you're not sure if every yep is an agreement? Or
yes, I would, yeah, I know, like, not every yep is an agreement, because it's right, yep, and okay, things are too clear. Also,
and what's the highest one that kind of probably occurs with? Because if it's below that, because I saw this one like in the 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah, like not throw much away yet quickly.
Because we on the display we pre take quite high, so it's only a matter of it occurs on ones that are really highly ranked.
So over how many different, over which length is this now? This is like, so the third column is the utterance where it occurs, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I think we really do have to put the threshold quite high then, because
well, otherwise you get.
Yes, but I was just checking, you know, like how far apart are they? And at the moment, that's definitely not a good thing to display if they're like an average 10 utterances apart or something.
So we want to take a threshold at least 50 or 60. Yes. That's a looking at that. Yeah. Because if they're below that, then they're
around.
Again, I'd say probably a good way of going about that question is to have control which we can vary in the display.
Yeah,
and then just sort of, because that's in the end how it's going to be evaluated. You know, in the end, this is kind of like, I mean, we're going to present it and say, yeah, so this is our insurance agreement, and then we see what looks good and what looks, I think probably looks credible if like if every sort of every topic segment has, yeah, or like something in between 3 and 5 agreements, but not more, maybe less, but not much less. And actually, I think that doesn't have to be one in everything.
But yeah, because some of them are also, I mean, this is just algebraic procedures, for example, where in between following and the other one is just two speakers in the meeting, I think, same for this one here.
So, yes, we probably want to merge ones that are very close.
I mean, that will be optically merged anyway.
Yeah.
Yes, but maybe in an expensive way, or maybe in a stupid looking way, though. Yeah, I was just thinking they can probably be done on display level. This one crashed. Mine just crashed. They probably just kept on playing and now reached some. My God.
Like actually this all here is an SSD because this was data that didn't fit on my quota anymore.
So Toby, you wanted to have keywords for each topic segment or something?
Yeah.
Who provides the values for that? No one?
I think sort of the bottom line, and which might well end up what it's going to be like, is
right.
That you take the single highest ranked utterance and put that as a title, like realistically looking at this from the time we have left to do this and stuff.
Because what I do is having values for each segment at the moment, so I could just extract the highest ones for each segment. I don't know if that's good, but It could be, at least I could provide some value.
Yeah, maybe even on a single, like, is that on a word basis? Would that be single words or would that be?
It doesn't matter to me. I could
Check out
do
that, but it would be
both.
like on a word basis.
Okay.
Maybe actually if there's one word which is very typical, I mean it's probably somewhere like because like that's the only time that air was spelled with three A and stuff. I think that actually that might be a problem of the whole annotation, that if they aren't exactly consistent in how they transcribe stuff like that, then we probably can't. Yeah, that's what we're thinking sometimes, like why is mm high, but then probably it's the only time that mm was spelled with a dot at the end and stuff. So, but yeah, like if single.
Maybe we should download a dictionary and check our utterances before we listen to make sure that they're actually real words.
I have dictionaries. If it's just like I have arbitrarily long lists from the British National Corpus of when usually.
Do not include me.
Well, let's say at least they do it consistently enough that I think you can filter them out fairly well. So if like I mean, if the single best one word for a segment, it's interesting. That would be really good. Use a random.
Make any sense, but if you need an idea of what they're actually talking about, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going backwards here now, suddenly.
Especially when the segments are really long.
Yeah, I mean that was sort of in the original content in the nice fancy drawings that we gave Stephen. I mean that was part of it, that sort of within a segment you had these sub-segments and each of them had different words and whatever happened to our dreams? Other assignments? No, I don't think we have. Yeah. Poor man's solution is probably gonna be to have a list. Oh, so you're thinking of loading them all at once? Yeah, I think that like the drawings we changed anyway, it's not ideal at the moment. Yeah, so if performance-wise it generally works fine. For the display it shouldn't make much of a difference because I think everything in the display code is just from the first until the last one displayed. So if the other performance is okay, then we should really just load the whole thing in. Just means that the display sort of has an internal knowledge about what level of zoom it has. So initially the display.
It just needs to know whether it's displaying more than one whole meeting.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway.
If you do it in that most primitive way of just saying as long as you display more than one meeting. We then need some way of getting back up again in the hierarchy, but then in the worst case it would just be a static sort of arrow up button in the right hand top corner of the display, and you press that and then you're on the display the whole thing again. But for that, at the moment, my display code needs that thing to work, the one, oh no, that's working at the moment anyway, the one that I just say, give me 100 values over that length, and then you're internally. Okay, but yeah, but that's okay, as long as my display, I was just thinking my display can't handle displaying a million different segments, but no, but it doesn't have to. Even now it doesn't have to. Okay, well that's all details. So Dave, can you just turn this, what we have right now, anyone feels that they have free time. One thing that would be convenient for all sorts of things, which I haven't found out about it, is how to do tooltips in an arbitrary way in Swing graphic displays. Now, there are simple ways of doing tooltips over a given element, like if you have a button, and you just give it a tooltip text. But there is means of doing tooltips that just, I put my mouse over, let's say I put my mouse over this line here, and then it would tell me something about what it is. That would be quite convenient for a lot of things, because then we can sort of have a lot of information in the display in the way that just when the mouse is over it. But I haven't figured out how it works, and that's something that probably. So if everyone is ever bored, or if anyone feels that they can do that. Yes, but
it automatically displays at the correct position when you hover.
Yeah, but the thing is, it isn't simply an act of setting a string default tooltip. There seems to be something about a tooltip object that you have to create and give it all sorts of different properties and stuff. Or
you might not really want to be creating a new.
So anyway, I haven't looked much into that. So if anybody looks into that, then let me know. Otherwise, I'll start looking into it as soon as I have time again. But if anybody. I found some stuff about it on the web, and it should look to me like proper coding. Like I saw half-page code samples, which effectively just displayed a tooltip, and I didn't have the time at that point to get deeper into that. So if anybody gets any good samples of that, anyway, is that it for now?
Is that all? Is that
no, but I'm going up in tower now, and I have my external hard disk, so I can. Yeah. Is there any dice machines in this building?
Mm-hmm.
Freely accessible for me. Can you show me where? Because
mm-hmm.
I'm actually not very good at the tower at the moment, so I have to go up and dice. Actually, no, but I have to go there anyway. Put a piece of paper into machines where some stuff of mine is running on. Yeah, and I think like I'll just kick in full time for analysis team next week, because there's nothing else to do. Apart from cognitive modeling, which I think I just do for 5 hours, 3 hours. Can you take a look at that?
Yeah.
I might just not go for the last question, because usually the last question is what takes half the time and gives you 5%. Okay.
At least their names, and if we have the names, we can get an email.
Maybe we have mentioned to them, but they just never talked to us, and we didn't talk to them. That's sort of coming as a shock to me now, because I was sort of in this mindset, like I first knew, oh, there's a lot of time between the presentation and the report, and then I knew, oh, now the presentation has shifted, but the correlation between those two facts, dependencies, there's some fancy planning language about that.
That's the brain problem.
Yes, it's probably some version of the brain problem. Brain plot problem hasn't been clear to me. Well, I reckon that it's but if you just present the functionality of the thing, if you're not like I don't think this presentation is about the internal working, so so for a demo I think realistically, since everything in this university sort of works in 1 hour slots and stuff, so if it's two groups then it probably it's gonna be roughly half an hour-ish. This is going to be so bad, like there's going to be some small... Yeah, but the performance is really bad at the moment on that one. Plus we would have to get the speech tools running on my laptop.
Then.
Well, let's see. It could just be fluent on the laptop for all I know. I mean, like at the moment it's not too bad apart from... I think the sound is stuttering and that's... I think because of the laptop. We can only really judge that once we have sound.
So
files.
How fast is it?
The NetBeans would run on anything but. But that all relies on finding some way of getting the speech tools to do that job. Yes, because that's the thing, like, that would rely on me. I just don't think it's a good idea to run the speech tools in
SQL. No, but SQL should run the Java as well.
No, wherever this is going, it doesn't sound good. Use my laptop as sort of like as a server, as a sound server, but then get the speech to running on it. Now you know, I think I mean the way Java works is that I think it'll run on their dice machine if we're doing it. If we should definitely test it the day before. Dave, are you going to make something primitive that people can load their data in? I'm not 100% sure what needs to be changed to make it work better. To make it not crash if it doesn't sound right. There's quite a bit you have to comment out for that. Which is stupid. You know, the thing is the display calls methods which probably expect them. So I think if the display itself isn't doing anything clocky, so as long as in the main, in the program manager, everything clocky is removed. But it might be worthwhile to check how much more work it would be to do it over a flag. Because then in the end, because otherwise we always have two code versions and people might be changing the wrong one. I know that like if you don't do the exceptions, you actually get crashes. That's what I figured out. Like if you don't have a sound cut, it crashes. Even if you don't have sound. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah,
like for the program manager that you call, I'm not actually 100% sure what it's called, but the display has some method where you tell it where to start and where to end. Yeah, well that's one of the things.
Actually, they.
I'm sorry, I was wrong. I was thinking it's exactly the same thing that happens when we say set selection, but it's not. But actually, set selection does everything you want, sort of.
Yeah, it sets. If you look at set selection.
No, but set selection doesn't affect the display, though, because. Well, it doesn't tell the display which part to display, because the display is just called set selection. Yeah, but that only works, that at the moment isn't done through our system, that's just done because then the time changes. So actually a time change would automatically put the positioning of the display in the right place. No, but that's not a good idea because that could well be outside the display area. You can set the window start utterance and window end utterance.
But yeah, we need to do something to ensure that search results are in something. So maybe we probably want a different summary constructor that takes an additional argument as an ID.
Annotatively, there's always the method of just doing three high score as a hack, you know, it's just as long as you guys don't, well, probably people wouldn't know. Well, you could put 1.1 when the other ones only go up to 1.
Yeah,
sure. But no, it's not a nice word. Yeah, probably that's actually true that if you're doing a search, you're usually not interested in a condensed way, but in the full thing anyway.
Otherwise, it would be too complicated to cope with the system if you have to readjust it to a different zoom level to get better results.
Probably.
Yeah,
even though I'm always getting myself confused about this, but I think sort of making the summary length thing generally proportional, like as a proportional factor of its original length is a good way of going about it, because anything with absolute length is sort of stupid, because that means the long segment gets to 1% of its length and another one gets to exactly the same length and stuff. So if you're doing it by a proportion, then just having 1.0 or something makes it very easy to always end up at the. Actually, that's what I've currently, like, the current code just takes a tenth of the summary numbers. Yeah. And that's the type of slider that we can actually leave in and, like, show, because
yeah,
that's functionality.
Easy.
Yeah, that's sort of like your level of zoom. Impending doom. Shall we quit here? Oh yeah, actually, I didn't actually, well, I thought it was staying because I couldn't get really get out of my seat, but I was probably sleeping in it. It was. No, I don't have the clipping now because I left my wallet at home. So whenever.
So did he present anything useful about?
Naive Bayes, it was.
No, no, I mean about the system you work on, the data system.
But he started Vector up once and he sort of went quickly through what you do, but I didn't pay very much attention to that. And so it didn't look to me like he wasn't doing an overly thorough instruction to Vector. It was just a 10-minute very quick, this is how he started. And
just had a look at it and I was wondering if there was any documentation or anything at all to figure out what
I think there's quite a few people from courses that have
throws at you.
I think there's quite a few